It's the Kim Munson Show.
The Washington Times said that patriotic Americans donated U.S. flags after protesters raised the Mexican flag over the ICE facility.
Analyzing the most important stories.
It is not fair that people come in illegally and they have 3 square meals a day, TVs and all. There's something that is wrong with this picture.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
When we get into conversations with people, you can get real bombastic with each other because you haven't read it. You don't know what you're talking about.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
So if you understand the issue, then you can have calm, reasonable conversations.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Let's have a conversation. I am Kim Munson and welcome to the show. We've got a fantastic show planned for you today. And we'll be going through some headlines in the first and second segment. Third and fourth segment, we will be talking with the acting director of the Bureau of Land Management. There are some amazing things going on there. We've got some questions. The Huffington Post doesn't like him very much. And so we will be talking with William Perry Pinley in segments 3 and 4. And promises to be really, really interesting. As we look at all these issues, we can really, you know, take these complicated issues and bring them down to the question on the table, which is freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Socialism ultimately comes down to force. And you have to ask yourself, if something is a really good idea, then why do you have to force it? If it cannot stand in the battle of ideas, then maybe it's not such a great idea. And it's never compassionate to take other people's stuff, whether or not it is with a weapon, with policy, or unpredictable and excessive taxation. And so that is why we look at these issues we are seeing here in Colorado, as Colorado is becoming a California wannabe, that we have PBIs, politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties that are continuing to try to move towards socializing key components in our society that makes our lives better. And those are things like transportation, education, energy, housing, water, communications, and data. And that is why we need to continue to push back, look at these issues as freedom versus force, get our brains around these issues, and then engage in the battle of ideas with our friends, our family, our colleagues, our children, so that we can make sure that we protect this American idea, which has brought more people out of poverty than any other government system throughout the history of man. So that is why we do this show. Be sure and check out my website. It is kimmunson.com. That's spelled M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Recaps and podcasts of the show can be found there. And if you want to reach out to me, you can reach out to me at kim@kimmunson.com. And I want to say thank you to the team, our great team of producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie for your support and your good work. And thank you to each of you listeners out there. I greatly appreciate you. You have a purpose today. Strive for excellence and take care of heart, soul, mind, and body. Now, Steve is off for a few days, and Tracy Rock is in studio. She is behind the boards. And, Tracy, it is just so great to have you working everything here.
Oh, thank you. It's an honor to be here. Good morning.
Well, thank you. And we're going to do a great show today together. So we'll unpack some headlines here. But, Tracy, one of the things that I really like to do is we're getting to a point where we're giving sometimes a little history as well as some inspiration / wisdom. And you're too young, I'm sure, but there was a movie star. He did a lot of Westerns. His name was Audie Murphy. Are you familiar with him at all?
No.
Okay, he was a World War II hero. He was also, I think, not really, really tall, but he was an amazing story. And here it is. Audie Leon Murphy was an American soldier, an actor, a songwriter, and a rancher. He was one of the most decorated American combat soldiers of World War II. He received every military combat award for valor available from the U.S. Army, as well as the French and Belgian awards for heroism. Murphy received the Medal of Honor, that's the highest honor that you can receive. He received the Medal of Honor for valor that he demonstrated at the age of 19 for single-handedly holding off an entire company of German soldiers for an hour at the Colmar Pocket in France in January of 1945, then leading a successful counterattack while wounded and out of ammunition. Murphy was born into a large family of sharecroppers in Hunt County, Texas. His father abandoned them, and his mother died when he was a teenager. Murphy left school in fifth grade to pick cotton and find other work to help support his family. His skill with a hunting rifle helped feed his family. First of all, is that not an amazing American story?
Wow. Yes, it's amazing.
So this is, and if you just Google him, you'll see all these old Westerns that he did.
Well, I like reading history books, and that's one I would definitely like to read on.
Most definitely. But here you go. He says, I'll tell you what bravery really is. Bravery is just determination to do a job that you know has to be done. I mean, so every day each of us can step up, and it sometimes takes bravery, it takes discipline just to do the everyday mundane things, because sometimes they seem kind of mundane, but yet, you know, we need to get them done and we need to do them well.
Exactly.
And speaking of the mundane, we're coming into Thanksgiving. And sometimes I think that we take it for granted, the blessings of the mundane, the blessings of being able to go to the grocery store and pick up all the ingredients that we will need for cooking our Thanksgiving dinner. We didn't have, and I've said it several times, we didn't have to raise the turkey. We didn't have to pluck the turkey. We didn't have to raise the wheat to make the flour. I didn't have to raise the pumpkin, which, in fact, freed me up to do other things. And that is one of the great benefits about our modern society. And I think we take so many things for granted. We get in such a hurry. It's such a blessing that we don't have, on the days that we don't have, really major things that happen. And so I think that we need to every day kind of say thank you for the blessings of the mundane, Tracy.
Absolutely. Every day is a blessing. And we just don't think about the everyday stuff. It gets to be just every day. And mm-hmm. Here we are.
Yep.
And we have to be intentional and do our best. Absolutely.
And as we're coming into Thanksgiving, I think it's a good time to talk about this on a regular basis.
So. Absolutely.
Okay, I've got some funnies for you. So I'm going somewhat with a cowboy theme, because we have William Perry Pinley on, and he is, with the Bureau of Land Management. Most of all of this is out west. There's public lands out west. And so that's why I thought about cowboys. I thought, Audie Murphy. So that's how we came up with that. So I have some cowboy jokes for you.
Nice.
Are you ready?
Okay. I'm a cowgirl, so this is awesome.
Okay. Hopefully I won't offend you or trigger you, okay? Okay. Why did the cowboy adopt a dachshund? Because he wanted to get a long little doggy. Ha, ha, ha. Number two. Why did the cowboy keep his horse in a barn? To give it a stable environment.
Nice.
Ah. And lastly, why did the cowboy brush his teeth with gunpowder? So he could shoot his mouth off.
Oh, that's good.
And there you have it.
So, that's good.
So let's jump into some headlines here. As Patty goes to work on compiling all of this amazing research, one of the first places that she goes is Complete Colorado. And it's online. And I love it, because they have all of these news headlines from throughout the state. And so you can find out what's going on there. You just click on those headlines. But if you want their original content, go to the top and click on the banner ad. And, Rob Nadelson, Sherry Pyfe, Scott Weiser, they all are doing some really great articles there. But first and foremost, this is unbelievable what she found. This is from Chalkbeat, which basically they report on education matters. It says, Colorado's education department will spend up to $5.2 million over 6 years on a consultant charged with determining why the state's 2012 landmark reading law failed to produce significant gains for struggling readers. The unusual external audit to be conducted by the nonprofit WestEd will dig into how the state schools are using about $40 million a year meant to boost third-grade reading proficiency. The review could last up to 6.5 years. Honest to Pete. Really? But, okay. A state law passed last spring mandated the external evaluation and other steps intended to improve the 2012 law known as the READ Act. The recent legislation came in the wake of ongoing criticism from lawmakers, parents, and literacy advocates about the law's effectiveness. Despite hundreds of millions of dollars spent on reading intervention since the READ Act's inception, just over 41% of Colorado's third graders met or exceeded grade level standards on the state's 2019 literacy test. The percentage wasn't much different, 38.2% in 2015. The act requires schools to identify struggling readers in kindergarten through third grade and draw on the state-approved approaches to help them improve. The planned evaluation marks a shift toward greater oversight of how districts are helping struggling readers and a new focus on ensuring the state's money isn't wasted. The San Francisco-based West Ed will be paid up to $735,000. Now, I just have to ask you, they say they're a nonprofit, but it sounds like they're making money.
Right, exactly. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. You know,
I know. Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
We should be on TV.
Page.
Yeah, we're rolling our eyes. I guess you can't see that on radio. So I continue. The San Francisco-based West Ed will be paid up to, and really, we don't have anybody here in Colorado, and we're going to California. You know, and they're doing a bang up job out there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. The San Francisco-based West Ed will be paid up to $735,000 for the first 5 months of work, with the possibility of $750,000 a year for 6 additional years of work. As Patty mentioned to me, so do you think they're going to complete this early, or do you think they're going to take 6 years? I mean, go figure.
It'll take forever.
Yeah. Education Department officials said the possibility of a $750,000 a year for said the contract details, including the exact amount West Ed will be paid, will be finalized in December. West Ed will start the evaluation in February 2020 with an initial report done in June 30th, 2021. Okay, Tracy, I have to ask you, how on earth are we spending all that kind of money? And we have our students that cannot read and write, but yet, you know, this legislature was, you know, passed this, sex education bill.
Right.
That I really think that is something that parents should be determining how they talk with their kids
instead of
government forcing that. But here they are all worried about, you know, all of this crazy stuff that's going on with gender and sex ed and all that. And we have kids that can't even read
exactly.
And write.
Well, you know, I'm been a single mom of four for a long time.
Oh,
and, you know, most of them are now grown, but I have one still left, 17. And it's amazing when he tells me some of the things that even, you know, not just the elementary level of watching people, their friends and what they don't know is amazing to me. And now that he's in high school and his friends are struggling like really bad with studying, with reading, they don't know how to do their math. I don't know how to do the new math. I got to admit that. But I mean, it's unbelievable how I'm kind of beside myself, like, what is going on? And all they can think about is partying and then the whole gender thing. And that's very open with like all my son's friends. It's weird. I don't know. It's a weird time.
Well, and then you go back to, we were just talking about Audie Murphy. I mean, you talk about a kid that's underserved. He quit school in fifth grade. You know, at the age of 19, he's fighting in World War II, but he goes on and becomes, you know, a big, big Hollywood star at the age of 19. And here we have kids, as you mentioned, that they're struggling with the basic things that you need to be able to succeed in life. And that's be able to read and write, do arithmetic, run a household, critically think.
Well,
that is what education is supposed to do.
Right. And I think we're handicapping our children. I mean, they don't know how to survive. They just don't. They have no ambition to be better than what they are right now. And they're just like, whatever.
You know, I would like to make a challenge, and that is that perhaps this $40 million that they have spent over these, you know, last few years, why don't they maybe offer that to, I want to say, like private enterprise, like you and I. I mean, I bet you that we could get a number of these kids reading, and we could probably do it for half the price, for $20
million. Oh, absolutely.
Okay. We'll put that
Let's
challenge
do that.
Out. Okay, that's our challenge.
So okay.
Let's go to break. When we come back, we'll continue on with some of these headlines, but it is a travesty. It is a travesty, the amount of money that we are paying at education in this country. And there are good teachers out there. We need to pay those good teachers more money. And the administrations are bloated, and they're not getting us the results that we need. And we need to say no more. We need to start to demand that our kids can read and write and do arithmetic before you start to do any of this other junk that they're teaching our kids.
For sure, for sure.
Okay, let's go to break. We'll be right back.
Hooters, you can watch the games with all your buddies. And when your buddies are the world-famous Hooters girls, there's always plenty of ice-cold beer and those craveable wings that'll knock your taste buds into next Tuesday. Hooters girls know plenty about football, but we really know the fans who live for it. So hang out with all your buddies all season long at Hooters, your official hangout for game day.
Catch all the games at Hooters and enjoy a Bud or Bud Light draft with 10 boneless wings, just $10. Dine for two with the pitcher and nachos, just $20.
A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all of your questions are answered. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren knows that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage or with rates down, explore options to remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Oh, that Charlie, because of the whole Western thing he did. All, I love these old Westerns, Tracy. That's great. Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. We've got a great show planned for you today. In segments 3 and 4, we will be talking with William Perry Pinley. He is the acting director of the Bureau of Land Management. And they're actually moving that thing out of Washington, D.C. to Grand Junction. It's unbelievable. And so they're mixing things up.
Yeah.
And so it'll be great to chat with him. But a couple of things here. Susan Kochevar texted me. She said she taught her daughter to read when she was 3. And Steve Ebling said, which of our guests said privatize education? I mean, I think that you could privatize education and you could have these kids reading in lickety-split. You know what?
You're right. My oldest son, he was reading at 2.5. And I mean, very, very well. And then my youngest one, the one that's in high school still, he could read like big books. He wanted to be like his brothers. And we're talking, he'd sit down and read big books, not like kids' books. I'd say at 3.5. It was amazing. So they can learn.
They can. And you just mentioned the word books. You know, I am a real believer in books, you know, paper books, sitting down and reading a book. I don't know, there's something, at least with me, I love, you know, turning the pages and really thinking about something. So I guess that's just my preference.
I'm old-fashioned that way, too. I like having a book in my hand and reading it that way rather than on a Kindle or anything.
Yep, I'm the same way. So, and these kids, I hear in the back of my head here that people are going to say, well, a lot of those kids come from underserved, underprivileged homes. The families are dysfunctional. They send the kids to school, and you're expecting teachers to do parents' job. And there is a lot of truth to that. I get it.
Right, but you know, to me, that's an excuse because I was a single mom for 15 years with my kids.
And how old were your kids when you, you, 4 kids, single mom? I don't know how you did.
And so, and my eldest went to Oxford. So, I mean.
Wow.
Yeah. And I think you've talked to him before on the air over on my show.
That's
on the other
right.
side.
That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah. So, and he was at Dallas Theological Seminary, I believe, when we had him on the
that's
air.
That's right.
So, you know, to me, that's just an excuse because I didn't have money. We were broke. And, you know, they got scholarships to go to Mullen High School. They got, they got scholarships, full rides to their colleges, you know. So
And it was merit-based. Was it a bit of need-based and merit-based, or how did that work?
Well, their grades were, for Mullen, it was more of a need-based, and then they would bless somebody to go to that school depending on their grades and their community service.
They had to perform. They had things they had to do.
Oh,
right?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. They had to
earn it. That's where I'm headed. They had to earn it.
Yes.
Okay.
Very
wasn't
much so.
Just given
okay.
to them.
Oh, no. I mean, they had to show all the areas that they were wanting to excel in and that they were serious about it. And they got it.
You know, one other thing. I know a young woman who received one of the prestigious scholarships here in Colorado. It was a full ride to one of the Colorado universities, and she earned it,
And then she had to pay taxes on that. I mean, can you believe that? I mean, it's just unbelievable.
That's crazy.
Okay. Well, let's continue. And we could talk. I have a feeling we could talk about this all morning long. But it is a travesty that we are not making sure that our kids know how to read and write and do arithmetic. And that almost, but yet, boy, I tell you, this whole sex education thing, the whole gender thing, man, that is all over. But yet our kids, we are doing them a disservice.
Oh, absolutely. I truly believe we are handicapping our children. And that's, I believe, part of the problem with the shootings and suicides and all this stuff. It's because they don't know what is real, what's not. We want perfect kids, but then it's okay to be messy and have a different gender. I mean, it's like they're so confused and their emotions are a wreck.
Well, so I think I agree with you. I think that we are doing them a disservice, and that's why, you know, you and I do what we do, is because we want to make sure that we get our brains around these issues. We could just talk girlfriend all day long, couldn't we? So, couple of things here. Let's see here. RTD. Now, I was on city council for 4 years, and as I started to look at transportation, I realized the ability for people to have freedom of mobility, to be able to move where they want to, when they want to, is inherent in a free society. And these PBIs in Colorado, these politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties, they want to ride around in their cars, and they want everyday hardworking people to use the train, the bus, and bicycles. But as you are in an upward or moving up the economic ladder, you know, one of the first things, a single mom, I mean, how on earth could you have raised 4 kids if you didn't have freedom of mobility?
Oh, well, that's another area I was blessed in, because, like, my church gave me a car because we didn't have a car.
So a car gave you freedom. What if you wanted to try to get all those kids to Mullen or whatever on a bus or a bike?
Well, and
or
I
train?
Think about that so often when I'm driving past and I see a family with little kids and they're waiting for the bus and it's raining and it's cold. And I think about that all the time. And I'm like, oh, if I could have a car to give that family, I'd give it to them.
Right then. And they'd take it. And they would take it.
Yes.
And I was downtown trying to find a parking spot. I guess it was yesterday. And it makes me so mad now when I go by and you see a parking meter that is hooded. Typically, many times those are hooded because your PBIs, your politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties, have special passes that they can park there, and they can park there for free. And I'm like, ugh.
Yeah. So doesn't make sense to me.
So with that, though, we are finding, as people, and unemployment is pretty low here in Colorado, so that means people, you know, hopefully you're doing pretty well. And so that means I think that they like to drive around in their cars. Well, guess what? And let me just back this up. If, in fact, somebody wants to ride around on the bus, the train, or on a bicycle, do. I mean, I love to ride my bike, but for leisure, not for to get from point A to point B, because it's not time efficient for me. But the fact that we subsidize this so significantly, so your fare when you get on the train or get on a bus generally only covers about 20% of the operating cost of that ride. It doesn't even include the cost of building all that up. And you know, so here we have everybody else subsidizing this to, you know, a significant amount of money. And when you are subsidizing that, that means you're taking money from a hardworking mom with 4 kids to subsidize somebody else's ride. And so RTD, though, they're having a heck of a time. It says the Regional Transportation District has asked the federal government for permission to cut service on its low-performing R line, which travels between I-70 and Lone Tree along I-225. The Federal Transit Administration gave RTD a $92 million grant to build an extension of the EF and R lines to Ridgegate Parkway. And this actually happened, Tracy, when I was on city council. And when I was on city council, there's probably only one thing that I really regret. I was new on city council, and there was something that was called under the Obama administration. It was called the New Starts Grants. And they were awarding this to different metro areas to try to get them to either have light rail or to expand their light rail systems. And so it was presented to me by the mayor. He said, you know, this is really, really important for our community, And, you know, we kind of would like to go after this New Starts grant. And again, $92 million from the federal government. And I was pretty new. And I'm kind of like, well, we'll see what happens with it. Well, the more I learned about it, the more I thought about it is it really right that we would use federal money for regional projects? And I think it was Professor John Eastman, who had made the case that the welfare clause in the Constitution has really been hijacked in a way. They've used it for many, many different things. But the welfare clause in the Constitution was really, is it something that is good for everyone? So they had, I can't remember which president, but he had vetoed money that Congress had appropriated for a road in the Cumberland Gap because that only benefited the people in the Cumberland Gap, but yet upheld building lighthouses on the eastern seaboard because that commerce that came in, you know, on the ships was actually good for everyone. And so I looked at it and I thought, how is it fair that we take money from our neighbors in all these other states to build something here regionally? If we want it here regionally, then we should vote to pay for it ourselves.
I agree.
And so when that actually came to a vote at City Council, I voted against it. So here we now fast forward. We've spent all this money, and actually that the total cost on that was well over $202 million for the extension that was like 2.3 miles, I think. I mean,
wow.
It was unbelievable. So here we are not even 5 years later, and what had happened with this grant is they were supposed to run trains on a certain amount each hour, and people aren't riding them. So they're asking for a waiver. Because people are not writing that to actually reduce that service because it's costing so much money. And so I think it's really important to keep an eye on that.
For sure, for sure.
Oh, my gosh, I've gotten a little wordy. Jason McBride, I apologize. I got to you a little late. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing good. Howdy, ma'am.
Well, there, partner, how are you doing today?
I'm fine. You know, you guys are talking about cowboys and cowboy songs, and it's funny, my kids hate it when I play. You remember that song that came out called I Wanna Be a Cowboy?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, I play that all the time when they're with me driving, and I sing it to them, and it just drives them crazy.
I don't think it's probably the song, Jason. I bet it's you singing.
Well, yeah, and that's on purpose.
Aha. Uh-huh.
You know, I'm getting even.
Okay. That's what we do as parents. So, hey, I was remiss yesterday. It was your birthday yesterday, and it was Lauren Levy with PolyFi's birthday yesterday. So happy birthday to both of you guys. You both are valued partners of mine.
Well, I appreciate that, and even more importantly, it was my father-in-law, Mike Moon's birthday, too.
Vietnam veteran, so happy
birthday.
Everybody's
birthday.
Well, it was a good day. So let's jump in here. Jason, what's on your mind this morning?
Well, you know, it's funny. You were just talking about cars and automobiles, and my subject today, I was just thinking there's a couple of automotive-related stocks out there that are really interesting, and it just shows the entrepreneurial spirit of America. One of them is called Copart, and I'm not recommending these. They just fall in with what you were speaking about, so I think that was karma. But Copart, they do like online auctions of cars that have been wrecked, the cars with a salvage title, where somebody might be able to fix them and use them, or somebody would like to have them for the parts or whatever. And what a successful business this has been. Their earnings have been growing every year as far back as I can see. The stock is doing really well. Kim, this one's another great illustration. You remember a couple of weeks ago when I was talking about it's okay to buy a stock when it's hitting a new high?
Right.
So now you look at the chart on this one. From 2013, this thing in January 2013 was at about $19, and it spent the next 3 years, I mean, just back and forth between about 14, 15, and 19, And it's amazing. In March of 2016, as soon as it kind of poked its head above that 19 level and hit a new high at 20, I mean, it's gone straight up to 80.
Oh, my gosh.
It's just straight up on the chart. So, again, I think looking at charts can really be valuable because, I mean, you could just see this sideways flat where it barely did anything at all, and then all of a sudden, you know, like Punxsutawney Phil on Groundhog Day, it poked its head up and said, I'm going somewhere else, and it sure did.
It sure did. Wow.
So someone that was afraid to buy because it was at $20, a new high, boy, I'm sure it could have missed out on an awful lot.
Right, right.
And then there's one other one, Kim, that I think is interesting, and you may have seen some of their commercials. It's called Carvana.
Uh-huh.
Have you heard of Carvana?
I have. I've seen it.
And they are not profitable yet. They're kind of a newer venture, but their revenues are really growing. Did $1 billion last quarter. The stock's doing great. But what a neat idea that you can kind of look at cars online, order one. They'll deliver it right to you, and you have a whole week to test drive it. If you don't like it, you return it.
As you mentioned, it's entrepreneurial. It's
yes.
The American spirit to come up with a new idea, innovative. And that's the thing about what we're seeing in this political discourse out there. There are people that don't believe in the American innovation anymore, and these two companies are just proof of that. So, Jason, thank you so much. And Natalie will be at the boards at 7:30. Do you still have a Stock Trader's Almanac?
I am down to the last few I have, so there's a couple left. I think they're great. Everybody that's called and got one said they really liked it. So, let me do you a favor and give you a free book.
So reach out to Natalie at 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. Jason, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a great day.
All right. Have a great show, Kim.
And we'll be right back.
Are you looking for news, not propaganda? Ready for a news source you can actually trust? How about a news site that doesn't want to sell you a subscription? Visit CompleteColorado.com to see all the latest news from around Colorado. Complete Colorado's staff scours news sources from around the state and nation to bring you only the top stories that affect you right here in our great state. Updated three times a day, CompleteColorado.com has full-time reporters doing original investigations and reporting like newspapers used to do, as well as opinion and political commentary from a variety of Colorado voices. And CompleteColorado.com is the only place to read columnist Mike Rosen. Always fresh content, always free, always informed. CompleteColorado.com, your complete source for Colorado news.
Don't miss Vino and Veritas, Wine and Truth, a study of the Federalist Papers. Join Kim Munson at Water's Edge Winery in Centennial or Colorado Cork and Keg in Castle Rock. In Fort Collins, attend Vino and Veritas at Ginger and Baker. Kim Munson would like to thank Presidential Wealth Management Loveland, Presidential Wealth Management Denver, and the historic 88 Drive-In Theater for their generous support. Vino and Veritas, Wine and Truth, a study of the Federalist Papers. Sign up today at KimMunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For more than 30 years, entrepreneur and stylist Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best. And guys, Kim can help you with made-to-measure shirts that fit great and you'll love to wear. Guys and gals, if you want to up your game, freshen your look, email Kim at KimMunson.com for your initial style consult. Kim at KimMunson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, and we are having a conversation with William Perry Pinley. Hey, Perry, all of this music is in honor of you. You are the acting director of the Bureau of Land Management, and so it's great to have you on the air.
Thank you, Kim. It's great to be back. Thank you for having me.
Most definitely. A lot has happened since the last time that we talked, Perry. You are now the acting director of the Bureau of Land Management. How is that going?
Well, it's excellent. As I've often said, I think President Trump is the best president for the American West since Reagan, and probably even better for Reagan because he's had more to work with the administrations of Bill Clinton and Barack Obama, There's a tremendous amount to undo and make right, and to return to a good neighborly treatment of Westerners. And President Trump has done that, and I'm delighted to be with Secretary Bernhardt in fulfilling the president's commitment to the West and, frankly, to all Americans.
Well, and there's a lot of public land out West, right, Perry?
Well, there is. A third of the country is owned by the federal government, most of it in the American West, and I'm privileged to be the deputy director for the Bureau of Land Management, which has 245 million acres of federal land, 10% of the country, as well as 700 million acres of mineral estate, which is a third of the country, and 99.99% of that is in the 11 western states and Alaska. So very little here in on the East Coast. I think there's about 50,000 acres east of the Mississippi. So wow. That's why we're so big on this move, Kim, to move our top people out to Colorado in the West, to put the top people out where the lands are that we manage and where we have the most impact on people.
Well, Perry, tell our listeners what you guys are doing. This is pretty creative. I mean, if we are a country that is of the people, by the people, it's kind of a good thing to have government near the people instead of all, you know, back there in Washington, D.C. So what you guys are doing is pretty amazing. You're moving the headquarters out to Grand Junction, right?
Absolutely. It all began with the president. Of course, the president issued an executive order back in 2017 saying, hey, let's get more bang for the buck. Let's better serve the American people. Let's make government closer to the people. We developed our unified regions for all of the agencies at the Department of the Interior. And then this year in July announced the move of headquarters west. As you know, 97% of our employees are in the West where the land is. But our top people, our top SES, our top GS employees, 50, 60% of those are here in Washington. They're in a building over by the World Series winning Washington Nationals baseball team. And we don't think they ought to be there. We think they ought to be out west in Billings and Boise and Reno and with a headquarters in Grand Junction so that our Western County Commissioners, for example, don't have to come hat in hand to Washington to plead with us to make wise decisions. We'll be right there. We'll be bumping into each other at the Safeways or the Starbucks or at church or at the Little League, and we'll be able to have better communications with locals. And I will just tell you, Kim, I have just been overwhelmed. I know the Secretary has been with the enthusiastic response we've received from governors, from tribal leaders, from local officials, from stakeholders, from neighbors, saying, hey, thank goodness you're coming out here. Help is on the way.
How is that going with, you know, many of the bureaucrats that have been in Washington, D.C. for a long time? Are they making the move, or how's that going?
Well, it's still kind of up in the air, Kim. We have been working with our employees very closely. We think the most important resource we manage are the employees who've dedicated their lives to make the country better through the Bureau of Land Management. And so we're just so committed to making sure we don't lose a single one of them. So we've worked with them consistently since July when we announced this. We understand some people who work here in Washington, D.C., this is where they were born and raised and grew up. They have family, they have elderly parents, or they have young kids in schools or in different situations. They can't make the move out west, so we're trying to find them jobs here in the various agencies. Rob Wallace is a friend of mine from Wyoming. He's head of the Fish and Wildlife Service. I just met with him yesterday about maybe he could pick up some of our folks who can't move west in the Park Service or the Fish and Wildlife Service. But we're providing very generous incentives to our employees who can move west. We're providing, the Secretary's agreed to provide a 25% incentive. That's 25% of basic pay. We're providing permanent change of station relocation pay to everybody. So we're just making it as easy as we can. And I think it's great to go out west because we have a lower cost of living, We have a shorter commute, and we have proximity to recreational resources. You know, I have people who work for me. They spend an hour and 15 minutes getting to work in the morning,
right,
and an equal amount of time at night. And then where are they? They're in rural. They're in suburban Maryland or Virginia. You spend 15 minutes in Grand Junction, and you're within sight of some bike trails. You're an hour from a ski resort. There's all sorts of reasons to be out west, and so I'm eager that our folks take us up on our offer.
Well, you know, I'd heard this this idea floated about moving bureaucrats out to live with the like you mentioned, locals. I mean, regular, everyday, hardworking people, so that we understand what's going on, get them out of that Washington bubble. And this is pretty amazing that you guys are doing this. I mean, and I tell you what, for me, if it was Washington, D.C. or Grand Junction, Colorado, I tell you, I would jump at Grand Junction, Colorado. I love it out there. And so that's pretty cool.
Absolutely. Well, here's what we found, Kim. I mean, this is a no-brainer as far as I'm concerned. We have a terrible time hiring qualified people inside the Beltway who deal with Bureau of Land Management issues. There's a lot of fine people out west who know recreation, oil and gas, mining, coal, grazing, all sorts of BLM issues. But when we say to them, hey, you want to go to Washington and spend an hour getting to work every morning? And they'll say, no.
No, thank you.
So I've been so amazed. We advertised here in Washington before I got here for a chief of staff position. They were never able to find a qualified person to fill the spot, so we got an acting chief of staff. We put that out for a job posting out in Grand Junction. In the first week, we had 19 applications. I think we got 50 or 60 applications right now for the chief of staff position. So that's what I'm finding. It's an embarrassment of riches with regard to the kinds of applications we're seeing. So I'm eager to fill our spots. We have a lot of vacancies, and we're eager to get them filled.
Oh, man, that is so cool. Hey, Perry, let's go to break. This is Kim Munson. I'm talking with the acting director. Do I have that correct? The acting director of the Bureau of Land Management, Perry?
Well, that's pretty close, Kim. It's really deputy director for policy and programs, exercising the authority of the director. But for the public, it's acting director works.
Okay, that sounds great. Well, I'm talking with William Perry Penley, the acting director of the Bureau of Land Management. I have some questions. I was talking with some people actually up in Wyoming who, you know, hunt, fish, they're concerned about public lands. And so they had some questions. And the couple of the questions on the table are, you know, the purpose of public lands, can humans and wildlife coexist on public lands? And we'll talk a little bit about animal migration and energy exploration. So those are kind of the questions on the table. Perry, let's go to break, and when we come back, we'll take a bite at those.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Karen Levine believes in homeownership. Because of Karen's love of dogs, Karen volunteers with GRR, Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, helping golden retrievers find their forever homes. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, and we are having a conversation with William Perry Penley. He is the acting director of the Bureau of Land Management. They are moving the BLM out here to Grand Junction, which is it's an amazing thing. Before we jump into those questions on the table, Perry, I know that you are a Marine, and I think that you know that I have been interviewing World War II veterans over the past 3 years. Yesterday, I think, was the beginning of the Battle of Tarawa, which was a very significant Marine battle early on in the war. And I just wanted to give a shout out because I want to try to continue to start to teach more about what was happening with our soldiers throughout these different wars and conflicts. But it was a key battle in World War II, the Battle of Tarawa. And there is an excellent book, Bones of My Grandfather, a young guy that actually his grandfather was a Medal of Honor winner, taking out a bomb-proof shelter there, and it's quite a story. So be sure and check out that book. But you're a Marine, and I just wanted to give a shout out on that.
Well, yeah, I'm glad you did. Thank you very much, and thank you for honoring Marines and sailors and airmen and soldiers that served in our wars. And I think that's one missing element in our education today of many, and that is the critical role they have played over the decades, the generations, to defend freedom in America.
And we are in a great battle of ideas, Perry, today in America, and you're stepping up in what you're doing. And I tell you, moving this bureau out here to Grand Junction is a big deal. But let's talk about some questions that I was asked. And what is the purpose of public lands?
Well, the public lands were set aside by Congress, and we defer to Congress on all this. The Constitution is quite clear. Congress shall make all rules and regulations regarding property of the United States and its territories and so forth. So that's quite clear. And so what Congress did in 1976 was pass the Federal Land Policy and Management Act. We at the BLM called it the BLM, Bureau of Land Management Organic Act. And so that set the stage for what we do. And so what it said was the Bureau of Land Management, unlike almost every other federal agency, is a true multiple-use organization. And that is what that means is, you know, the Park Service, they can say, hey, we're for parks and people coming here and enjoying the parks and the landscape. But the Bureau of Land Management, we're supposed to make provisions for oil and gas leasing, for mining, for strategic and critical minerals, for recreation, for grazing, for paleontological research. I mean, we do it all.
Wow.
And on those 245 million acres. And we're supposed to balance all that, and we do it through the National Environmental Policy Act process where we ask the American public, here's what we got, here's the landscape, here's the laws that relate to it, what do you think, how should we manage these lands? At the end of the day, we come up with decisions, and we do it in an attempt to support local communities. You know, and most Westerners know, but folks here in Washington do not know, that 60, 70, 80, 90% of counties in the West are owned by the federal government. And so when the federal government, whether it's the Forest Service, the Park Service, the Bureau of Land Management, makes a decision about how that land's to be managed, that's life and death for a local community. If the mill's not going to open, if the mine's not going to open, if it's not going to be available for oil and gas leasing, people leave town. And local government cannot provide for hospitals, can't provide for law enforcement, can't provide for schools, and mom and dad can't get the kids to come back to raise the grandkids in the local community because there's no jobs. And the Bureau of Land Management, we're not in the jobs business. We'll leave that to the private sector, but frankly, I believe we're in the get-out-of-the-way business. So we're not supposed to erect barriers to people consistent with our environmental laws and our regulatory mandate. We're not supposed to prevent economic activity. We're supposed to enhance it. And that's why I'm so honored to be with President Trump and what he's done for oil and gas development in the American West. We had a lease sale in New Mexico last year. We presented a $450 million check to the state of New Mexico as a result of one oil and gas lease sale. And that's a tremendous opportunity to be able to serve in that way.
Okay, so on that, though, I would say environmentalists, the more I'm looking at this, the radical activist environmentalists, I feel don't like everyday hardworking human beings very much. And so the question on the table is can humans and wildlife coexist on public lands, do you think?
Oh, absolutely, and that's our mandate. That's what we're required to do. we're required to ensure that we maintain the lands in such a quality that it provides for wildlife, or because of what it adds to the land, because of hunting and fishing and those activities. I mean, one of the conflicts we have, and I've been very outspoken about this because I take my job seriously, is the impact of wild horse and burros on our federal land. Congress told us back in 1971 we're supposed to preserve these populations, but over the decades, the situation has gotten out of hand. We have 88,000 wild horse and burros on federal land, which is about three-plus times the carrying capacity of the land. It's destroying the public land. It's competing with indigenous species. It's adversely affecting endangered species. It's denigrating private property rights, including forage and water, and it's creating public nuisances. And we got to do something about it. And so that's the mandate we take. And so it's not compassionate what we're doing with these horses and burros. We're allowing them to starve and die of thirst in these arid areas. And we're turning some of our public land into essentially concrete as a result of their presence there. So we got to fix that. So, you know, when you say can wildlife coexist, absolutely, that's our mandate to do it. And one of the things we got to fix is this wild horse issue.
Okay. Next question on the table. Regarding energy exploration on public lands, I've had some people say that they are concerned about that would get in the way of the animal migration patterns. So how would you respond to that, Perry?
Well, this was a big initiative of the Trump administration, these wildlife corridors, and we are working closely with our Western governors on that issue. I know that in Colorado, just a few weeks ago, the governor objected to some of our oil and gas tracts that we had proposed releasing simply from a wildlife corridor perspective, and we took them off the table. We simply deferred to the government. The governor, said they interfere with my wildlife corridor program we got going on here, and so we simply deferred to him. And so we take that commitment seriously. I know the secretary is deeply invested in this issue, and I hear his instruction loud and clear. That we got to maintain these corridors and do what we can to protect wildlife.
Okay. Last thing on the table. When you were appointed to this particular position, the Huffington Post came out and they didn't seem to like you very much. What would you say to that?
Well, I would say everyone's entitled to his opinion, and I'm not surprised. I have been unabashed supporter of the President of the United States and Secretary Bernhardt, and obviously there are people who disagree with the President's policies and the Secretary's policies, and if they don't like the President and the Secretary, then they're not going to like me either.
Yeah, and I don't read the Huffington Post much, but it did get my attention on that. So Perry, we're just about out of time. We've got maybe about 3 minutes. So what are some of the final things that you want to make sure that our listeners know? I mean, we've covered some great information, but what else should our listeners know?
Well, I'm big on the energy issue simply because it's so critical to our relationship with our foreign friends and frankly adversaries. President Trump's energy initiatives have really changed the geopolitical climate for the better. There's a miracle out there. I refer to hydraulic fracturing as an economic, energy, and environmental miracle. And until President Trump came in, Westerners were denied the ability to participate in that miracle because federal lands were off limits. All of the development had been state and local lands across the country. President Trump has opened that up to Western lands. And so this the development of these resources is now taking place in the West, and all for the better. It's going to improve jobs. It's going to improve revenues for local governments and our school kids. It's going to improve the standing of the United States vis-a-vis the world. I think that's one of the great initiatives. And all at the same time, President Trump has issued an executive order to increase recreational access to federal lands, and we have been doing that in spades. I will tell you the first thing I did when I got here, acquired a lighthouse in the Jupiter Lighthouse in Florida, picked up 13,000 acres along the Blackfoot, picked up 11,000 acres along the John Day River in Oregon, all to increase access to recreational activities. So I do believe that we really can have it all. We can have a great economy, we can have great energy development, and we can have recreational opportunities that are the envy of the world.
And I do, too. So you certainly are a guy that thinks big. And William Perry Pinley, thank you so much. I have so enjoyed this conversation.
Well, it's been wonderful talking to you. You have a great day.
You, too. And our quote for today is Audie Murphy. And he says, "The true meaning of America, you ask, it's in a Texas rodeo, in a policeman's badge, in the sound of laughing children, in a political rally, in a newspaper. In all these things and many more, you'll find America. In all these things, you'll find freedom. And freedom is what America means to the world and to me." And that's Audie Murphy, Medal of Honor winner.
Oh, I love it.
So today, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.
Young, like a new moon.